I like sex. I like women. I'll hump anything in a dress. I'll even get down on the floor with you right now if they turn off the lights. No price
on your head. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Here's our phone number, 877-365-3636. We're going to talk to this lady, Jill Price, here in a second. She, how is this pronounced? Hyperbimestic syndrome.
Oh, yeah, I've got that.
She's a lady that can literally remember everything.
Wow.
I mean, every day of her life in total continuous automatic autobiographical biographical recall every day of her life since she was 14 years old.
Wow.
You can give her any date during that that whole thing. And then we're going to talk about our blind taste test.
Yes, please.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I love taking my ladies on dinner dates.
I'm excited about that.
Which is going to be right on the heels of Hogfest 2008. That is really an idea that is growing blind hair.
It is.
It is. I'm very excited. But let's welcome Jill Price. She is the author of the book, The Woman Who Can't Forget. Jill, how are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
When did you first realize that you had this extraordinary ability? When did you really start processing it?
The end of this month will be 30 years, when I was 12 years old.
Wow. 30 years. Wow. And did you begin to, when you realized it, did you overachieve in aspects of your life because of your memory?
No.
You didn't have any ability to do that in any way to overachieve, like in tests or recall, you know,
no.
Dates?
No.
How come that didn't happen?
Because it's my autobiographical memory. It's my life. So school actually was really difficult for me.
So when you say autobiographical, it would be you'd remember it if something happened to you personally, right?
That, or if, you know, for like current events or television, you know, something that I'm interested in. Right.
But you'd have to be interested. But see, when I read that, I was thinking that wouldn't apply to reading a book, right? That even if it was a subject, because it would seem to me that even if it's autobiographical, you'd read something and be able to have a retention. But that wasn't the case.
If I was interested in it,
right. You'd have to be pleasure reading, right?
Mm-hmm, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. Have you? So I guess the question about auditioning for Jeopardy is out of there.
You know, when I watch Jeopardy, which I don't really watch that often, but with the subjects I'm interested in, I know.
Wow.
But then usually most of the subjects are things that I have absolutely no clue to. So I probably feel as stupid as everybody else.
So you say subjects that you're interested in, but also if you're watching TV and some major event happened that day, that would impact you autobiographically, right? And you would remember that if you were around, like when you saw it on the news, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So you can recall as long as you heard about it. You know, and that does not include reading things. What is the most difficult part of having this ability or gift? You know, I guess you wouldn't call it a gift. You would call it this consciousness. What is the worst part of having it?
Not being able to forget.
And that includes, sure, like that includes good things and bad things, right?
Well, I don't want to forget the good things, but you know, everyone has decisions they've made or choices in their life that, you know, that they are, you know, are not happy with. And it's those kind of things that I pretty much beat myself up about.
You know, I saw a fellow, I forgot what his name was. He was on the Today Show the other day, and he was prattling off all these dates and figures.
I saw the guy.
He was almost joyous with his ability. I get the total opposite feeling with you, that it was kind of a curse for you. You're not really thrilled to have this ability.
Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword. On one hand, I don't forget all the things that that have happened in my life that are bad.
Right.
But on the flip side of it, I could reach back into really, 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 really early memories of my life that bring me great comfort.
Do you use the good memories to distract you from the bad memories? Like if you think of something bad, do you try
That's
to think
question.
Of something good to replace it?
It doesn't really work like that either.
Wow.
How does it work? Because that was one of the things I was thinking about. Your recall, do you see the events? I mean, how exactly does your memory work?
On a moment-to-moment basis, I'm in the present moment. I have a job. I have a life. I'm actually really normal. And if you didn't know this about me, you would, unless I'm saying something that is kind of weird for you.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's a woman that I work with, and before she knew about this, I had asked her when she started working there. And she said April 11th, 1990.
Right.
And I said to her, why did you start working on a Wednesday? So, and this is like 17 years later.
Wow.
So that kind of stuff, you know, unless people know, they're just like, wow, how'd you know that? And before the paper was written, I used to talk about this all the time, but once the paper was published and the article was written about us a couple years ago, I kind of wanted to keep it quiet just because I wanted to keep my privacy.
Right.
But if you were to give me a date, you know, or if I were to see a date on...
Would you play that game with us a little bit? I mean, because we did write some dates down, some random dates.
You know, I will, but I'm, you know, that I'm really actually kind of tired of doing that because it's so much more than that.
Well, I know, but
understand.
You know, we're also trying to entertain people.
No,
too.
I understand that, and I'll do that. You know, and there's, you know,
I'm looking forward. I actually lost the sheet, but go. I mean, tell us about. I know it must get tedious for you, Rob. Do you have that sheet of dates?
I will look for it.
I've got it right here. I don't want, because I can tell by talking to you, this guy that I watched on the Today Show, and really, you're so much different from him.
Yeah,
first of all,
excited.
He was, I will say, I hate, it's an overused word, but he was kind of savant-like when he came on. You, on the other hand, I get this from listening to you, I'm hearing a little angst in your voice that mm-hmm. this has been close to maybe an unbelievable burden for you. Is that at all accurate, Jill?
Yeah, exactly. And
oh
that's why I reached out to the doctors. You know,
right,
if I could just remember dates and just, you know, rattle off dates and stuff like that, I don't think I would have ever reached out to them because I wouldn't have been tormented. So that's where that lies. But if you were to give me a day, you know.
I'll give you March 30th, 1981.
Everyone gets that one. It's the day that Reagan was shot.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay.
No, that's okay.
Jeez,
but then I can also tell you what I was doing that day.
Okay, what were you doing that
what
day?
What was going on? I was in 10th grade, and
right.
I was actually walking through the quad at school when I heard one of the English teachers tell somebody else, oh, come to my classroom. You know, he had a TV set in his classroom. Come to my classroom because the president's been shot. So we all went into the classroom and we watched it. And then when I got home from school that day, continued to watch it.
Wow.
And it was a Monday. And the Academy Awards were supposed to air that night, but they had to cancel them to the next night.
Wow. Oh, that, so, you know, I mean, it's amazing. You have to understand for the average person to hear this. And I know you get that one all the time.
Mike, before you do another date, I have a question that's been bothering me since I saw Jill on television. Jill, does this, and I don't want to dumb it down too much, but this is something that would bother me. When you see a movie, do you ever have a need to see the movie again if it's a movie that you really like, or do you have such a memory of the movie or a TV show that's in reruns? Does it take away your pleasure from watching it again?
No, it doesn't. I could watch Knots Landing. I love Knots Landing, and then when it ended in 1993, I watched the run three more times on cable over the years. So that it's not like that.
Okay.
And you do see the events that you recall, right?
I see the day as if it happened. I always explain it as if somebody was walking around with a video camera behind me, and each day has its own tape, and it's on the shelf. And if I see a day, or if it, you know, because like minute to minute, it's present moment, but I also have this running movie in my head that is constant memories and free flowing and random and not having anything to do with each other. But if you were to give me like March 30th, 1981, I see the day. And I can feel the emotion of that day. And
what about January 20th, 1981?
That was the day the hostages were released.
Is that a trite one too? I mean, I'm trying to do unique ones here. You know that
that was the 444 days after the hostages were released.
Wow. How about June 9th, 1973?
That's pretty early for me.
Okay.
I was still kind of young then.
And I'm also going to say, you know what? That might not be something you were interested in. That was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown.
No, I wouldn't know that.
You wouldn't know because you really weren't interested in that,
right? So, like, the other day, somebody was asking me about October 3rd, 1993, and I could tell you what I did that day, but then when I found out what had happened, I was like, I wouldn't know that.
Really?
Now,
you know, these are, like, famous dates, but I'll give you, like, my birthday. It probably goes back. How old are you, Jill? How old are you?
42.
You're 42. All right, so I won't give you my birthday.
But if you'd give me your birthday, I could tell you, you know, starting in about 1980.
Oh, things that happened on your birthday.
All right, starting in 1980, June 22nd was my birthday. Anything significant you remember that happened on June 22nd?
Well, it was a Sunday.
Right.
And the day before.
In 1980,
and I was at camp. I was 14, and the day before, I actually was taken out of camp for the day because my cousin got married.
Wow.
And I was on a boat, and I got seasick the whole day.
Beth Ann wrote this down. She brought this in. Do you have kids, Jill?
I have stepchildren.
Do you think, is this hereditary in any way?
you know, the doctors are kind of at the beginning of all this, so they don't really know.
Jill, I saw something on 60 Minutes recently that they're trying drug therapies now to help people suppress horrible memories from their past. If you could be cured of this ability, if you will, would you be interested in a thing like that?
No, and that's because since the paper came out, and I've actually been on the hunt of a normal memory to see what it's like for other people.
Right.
And the things that people have told me, you know, how they remember things and how it's kind of fuzzy or splotchy, I would not want to not be able to remember my life. As hard as this has been for me.
Yeah.
What is your best memory? Yeah, what's one that really, I mean, obviously you play them, you see them.
Yeah.
What is the best memory of your life?
The favorite movie in your head?
When I got married.
When you got married? Yeah. And I'll have to ask, you know, the good
Mine
with the bad.
Too.
Do you have I know it's tough, but we're talking memory here. What is your worst memory?
2 years later when my husband died.
Oh, my God. Oh, and so you play that back as well. That's got to be. Oh, my
and
God. What a horrible burden that is.
During that time, because he died at the end of March, and it actually lasted 9 days. So in those 9 days, I relive it moment to moment, and to the exact
boy.
You know, time that I got the phone call, the exact time that I was doing this, and but I do that with everything. I do that with good things and bad things.
I
so.
Have no idea. And is that the woman who can't forget? That's the book. Is it in the book the whole saga of going through that experience?
It is.
I mean, it sounds trite to say this. I feel like everything's trite right now, but. God, I mean, that sounds like I'm listening to a movie. It would be what an incredible burden that would be. Did you try to get through this time with psychotherapy? Or, I mean, obviously you were diagnosed when you were 14, so you know you have this condition.
Well,
how
I was diagnosed when I was, I mean, I went to the doctors when I was 34.
Okay.
And I said to
them. Oh, they say you've had it since you were 14.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
I've had it. I mean, I could tell you stuff from when I was in the crib. I can tell you my life in New York until I was 5.
Wow.
My life in New Jersey until I was 8. But once I moved to California when I was 8 and a half, everything kind of started to become more clearer.
Well, that's because everybody's smoking weed out there.
Well, I was only 8.
Oh, okay. But, sorry about that.
But by the time from 8 to 14, that's when I started realizing that I could remember exact days and dates. And by the time I was 14, and I'm not really sure why, it just kind of clicked in.
Jill, would you take a couple of questions from our audience?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go to the phones right now for Jill Price. Hello, Omar. You're from Maryland. You're on the Mike O'Mara Show with Jill Price.
Hi, guys. How's everybody doing?
We're doing great. What's your question for Jill?
A lot of people remember stuff that happened on when big things happened, like, you know, Reagan's assassination, but a lot of people have trouble remembering stuff that happened on the day before. Could you tell us what you were doing on the 10th of September, 2001?
What? Before 9/11.
Okay.
I was working, and I happened to stay late that night. I didn't get home until 8:30 that night.
Right.
So, you know, I worked in television at the time. I was working in a production company, and when I got home that night about 9:15, which I marked down in a book, because then I didn't leave again until Wednesday at 9:15, and I thought to myself, God, the last 36 hours have been absolutely insane.
Yeah. So everybody was busy. You know, it's funny, now that you mention that, and since the call, and thanks, Omar, thank you very much for calling.
Good
we appreciate
question.
The call.
That was.
Since he brought that up, I'm beginning to clue in on what it must be like for you, because I think with our stronger memories, all of us, especially in the area of tragedy, we do kind of play it back as a movie, but it's not even with that, it's not nearly
right.
as intense as what you go through, but... My God, I mean, it's just every day with you. What do you do to get rid of it? I mean, to diminish it for a while? I mean, and does it diminish other areas of your thinking?
No, there's nothing I can do. You know, you can't shut your brain off. I just have to kind of concentrate being in the moment, but there's always this running movie in my head.
Does it affect your sleep at all?
It does.
Oh, wow.
It does do that. I've had insomnia for years.
Wow.
And the only time I actually slept well was when I was married, so... you know, and especially the last couple of years since the paper came out and all this attention, and everything's always swirling. And so,
right.
Yeah, I do have trouble sleeping.
You know, when we asked you the question, you know, and you said everybody asked me that.
No, but everyone has. There's like certain days that everyone asked me about.
Do you get tired of the attention and everybody talking to you about this? Because, I mean, you can understand why we're fascinated by it. And obviously you've written the book, so you want to – I feel talking to you like you're – in a little bit of pain. Was the book an attempt to just sort of get it all out there, get it off your chest, and then you just want to go on with your life, or what?
You know, people ask me if this was cathartic, and it's it's really not, because what I, you know, watching, let's say, Jane Fonda and Larry King talking about her book, what she did to go through writing a book is what I go through every single day. And writing this book was actually excruciating for me, because I was talking about things to my writer who that I'd never, ever, you know, really talked about out loud. So it was really painful to go through this process. I did this because when the paper came out a couple years ago and everyone wanted to talk to me, I took a couple months to kind of sit back and decide what I wanted to do. And I realized that this was much bigger than me, and it was science, and that I really kind of had a responsibility to come forward and talk about it.
Do you think there are
a
lot of other people that are out there that are going through this?
You know, I was on 2020 a couple weeks ago, and I've been reading the message boards, and it seems that there are people out there, and I hope that these people find the courage to reach out to my doctors so they can study them, because they can't just study me.
Yeah, and I would imagine, you know, with the... it would seem to me that harnessing some of these abilities might benefit society in some way, I would think.
Well, that's what we're hoping. I've always talked about, one day I want to cure Alzheimer's, and people would laugh at me. But I got my brain scans back in January that were taken at the end of the summer of 2006 that were studied by scientists at Harvard, and my brain is different. There's regions and structures that are three deviations bigger than the people I was compared to.
Wow. Right.
So I kind of feel like there's got to be a reason for all this.
You always hear about that percentage of the brain, you know, what percentage of brain we use. Mm-hmm. Did they give you any stats like that or estimate
No, because I don't even think they really thought they were going to find anything, and they were just completely blown away. And the doctors at Harvard asked me to be patient.
Right.
They said, we know you've been sitting here for 8 years, but we're detectives, and we just kind of ran into the body, and please be patient because they want to study me more.
Right.
And, you know, I'm totally willing to do that because I feel there's got to be a reason why I have had to live like this.
Sure. Joe, we're going to take some very quick questions if you have time, just a few more,
because
everybody obviously wants to talk to you. We're going to take four very quick questions here for Jill, and then we're going to let her – then we're going to let her go. I sounded like Dean Martin for a second there. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Mike in Maine. Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, what a condition, I tell you. I mean, that must be something else. I was just thinking, I had to call. I mean, does alcohol, you know how you have a couple too many drinks and
you black out. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Nope, not that either.
Does alcohol affect it in any way?
No.
Not at all?
No. Somebody asked me that. A 17-year-old had said, you know, maybe if she drinks, it'll kill her brain cells. And it doesn't work either.
Doesn't work at all. Probably. I would assume then it would make it worse. Let's go to Jason in Virginia. You got a question for Jill Price.
Yeah, Mike. Hey, Jill, just a quick question. I think what the guy before was trying to ask, like everybody remembers big dates, and I know he asked you about September 10th. I think what he was trying to get at is kind of what I'm thinking. Like how do you have people who can quantify, like, you were actually, like, working late that night or something?
I have a journal. I've been writing in a journal since the last week of 1976.
Really?
So the doctors, when I went to see them in 2000, you know, they had a big book of...
Wow.
Of events over the century, but they also were able to look at all of my journals and clarify that.
So you actually write down stuff that you do on that day that then, like, people can go back and say, you know, yeah, I remember her working late, or I remember this.
I don't know if anybody else would remember that we worked late, but
I guess that's what I was getting at, just so that you don't have somebody say, well, you know, anybody can write down they were working late on a certain night. But
exactly, but you know, these are journals that have been written in handwriting from the time I was 11 years old.
Jill, did you journal as a way to prove to people down the road?
No.
How did you know to do that?
No, this has all been kind of a surprise to me the last couple of years. So when I was writing in my journals were for myself. It was really to, even though I remember everything and everything is in my brain, once I write it down, it kind of relaxes it. So I don't have to swirl in my head.
One more question very quick for Jill, and then we'll let you go. And this is, I could talk to you for 3 hours. It's pretty fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
Craig from Sacramento, you're on with Jill Price.
Yeah, I was curious. You said you see it visually, so I was wondering if it's like in a third-person view or in a first-person kind of view or what?
Good question. That's
right.
A very good question.
I'm watching it like I see it as it happened out of my eyes.
Okay.
All right. Well, Jill, the book is The Woman Who Can't Forget. Fascinating stuff as far as the mind and the brain and everything they can do. And obviously, you know, you're letting the doctors study you, and hopefully they more people will come forward and they can study them. It's fascinating. I urge everybody to read this book. Jill, thanks so much for coming on the show. And,
thanks, Mike.
And really, good luck. I wish you peace.
And happiness.
All right. Did you remarry?
No, I haven't remarried.
Well, I wish your love life gets better, too.
Thank you.
You're just like our producer, Beth Ann McBride. But, you know, we hope that gets better, too. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
That's Jill Price. Wow, that's kind of... It's got to be tough
spooky.
All day long.
We're not expecting those sorts of answers from
you. Know, you ever do, you know, speaking of drinking, if you're going out and you have something really weird that happens to you and you piss somebody off and then you haven't been able to reach them the next day,
and, you worry.
All you're doing is thinking you're playing it back in your head and over it, it's kind of similar in a way. Very scary.
I worry about her being happy. I hope she is.
She doesn't sound
Buzz,
happy.
She will fly to her.
I will if necessary.
Go to her, Buzz. If make necessary. Her happy.
On the bright side, never lost her car keys.
Never in her life. And I wanted to give her more dates, but I didn't want to treat her like a trained rabbit.
I know she kind of
shut us
that.
Down on that.
Yeah, Reagan was shot. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, secretary. Okay.
You're doing what
ass.
Everybody does, you heathens. What did you want to say, Beth Ann?
It's just to kind of lighten things up. Do you remember I told you I got this email? And I found it because I printed it.
All right.
It was from Brett Oliverio from the Junkies.
Uh-huh. Okay, he goes to Gambling 911 a bunch, and they botched the headline. All right, let me see.
But it's right there. This is the
gambling guy we had on the other day.
The guy that laughed a lot.
He's now posted a plug for our show on his website, and it
here
says...
Here it is. Gambling911.com discusses Idol on Mike O'Meary. Thank you. That does lighten the moment. It lightens the moment, and it's kind of negative, too. So it fits both categories.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins, including Beth Ann. We'll be right this after that.
It's the Mike O'Meara Show.